our first year we did this, probably 20 minutes into it, I had tears coming down my eyes. And it was just amazing to see our kids just be rock stars. I mean, it was unbelievable. And the cool thing is, kids that you would never think could be that type of leader or role model. It was just like, wow, they were just stepping up in ways that just were beyond unbelievable. And it brought tears to my eyes, and it was incredible. It was unbelievable.
How many of us want to create an experience for your team like the one you just heard? You were just listening to Kevin Orr, who is probably one of the most enthusiastic and most transformational coaches I know. He's going into his third season of the Thrive on Challenge mentorship program. And I asked him and a couple other coaches to come on the podcast and share what they believed were the most game-changing things they had done for their culture. Now, I had initially planned for this just to be one episode, but what these coaches are sharing is just some incredible stuff. I've had to stretch it out into a two-part series. And whether you're just starting your season or you are preparing for the season ahead, you are going to get three great ways to make your season great. And in this week's episode is all about running a camp or a team, an event with your team for people in need. And I'm not going to lie, I was so inspired. I actually got emotional, not just during my initial conversation with Kevin, but later during the editing. It's some incredible story for us today. You're listening to episode 104, Three Ways to Make Next Season Great. This is part one. Now, Nate and I are incredibly excited to announce our next coaching culture workshop that is open to the general public. This is November 24th, and we will be hosting this event in Minneapolis, St. Paul. This is a full-day workshop dedicated to helping you grow as a leader. And while we suggest you bring your staff, even if you come alone, you'll be able to connect with other like-minded leaders. When you leave this workshop, you're going to have a very clear vision for your team culture and your purpose as a leader. You're going to have identified a few areas where you yourself need to grow and how you can make those changes. And lastly, you're going to have a tailored plan, a customized plan to implement relevant and practical systems and strategies for your team's culture. Nate and I are going to be going way deeper than the podcast and in a more personalized way than any other workshop you've attended, not only through the presentations and our breakout sessions, but before you even show up to the workshop, you'll be sharing with us your challenges and your aims for the future of your coaching and your program. And then after the workshop, you'll be talking with one of us to make sure you have a clear vision and plan moving forward. Now, to register or learn more information about pricing, location, hotel accommodation, just go to thriveonchallenge.com/live workshop. I'll also have a link in the episode details here. Now, let's get right into our conversation with Kevin. Kevin, I've known you for a while, brother, and one of the most exciting times of the year for you is the weekend of Inspire Camp. The stories always blow me away. Tell us a little bit about how it came to be.
You know, first of all, JP, I just want to thank you for having me on. You and Nate just do a tremendous, tremendous job with the Coaching Culture podcast. And it's something that I listen to weekly and I share it with my staff. And it's been a big boost for our program. So thanks for everything that you and Nate do for coaches out there. But, you know, getting back to your question, JP, the way we came about Inspire Camp, a friend of mine, Lucas Jaden, from Appleton area, I got connected with him, and him and his wife started a nonprofit organization called Inspire Camp, where they go out and help programs do camps, not necessarily basketball camps, but all different types of camps. And he was the first one that kind of camp for special needs kids. And he was kind of the first one that turned me on to this camp. And I contacted Lucas and I just told him, I'm all in. This is something that I want to do up in Rice Lake.
Now, what exactly is the camp itself when you run it with your team and how you serve the special needs kids?
It is a camp. The first year we ran the camp, Lucas came up and his wife and, you know, kind of ran the camp for us. And to be honest with you, you know, it was a basketball camp and we did it during our basketball season. And I was really nervous the first time we did the camp, you know, just because, you know, I was worried about our high school kids because sometimes in the past, like we'd run basketball camps in the summer, they would be helping and, you know, they would, our workers, they would kind of like maybe lose focus at times, you know, not engage the kids as much as I would like. And so I was a little bit nervous about like, I'm just wondering how our players are going to do. And I hope they do a great job. So there was a lot of nervousness on my part the first year I ran it. But before the camp started, I talked to our pupil service coordinator, and she kind of sent out a flyer to all the families, three to probably almost up to age 30, inviting them to our camp. And our first year, we had a really nice turnout, probably 24 athletes came. But before the athletes came, about 40 minutes before our athletes came, we sat down with our kids and really set the tone for the day. You know, we went over the schedule, what it's going to look like. We talked about how this camp is going to be like a Super Bowl for these kids. And we gave some examples of previous campers that Lucas worked, how one young man literally wouldn't take off his basketball shoes for like 3 weeks after this camp because he was just so excited about the game of basketball. And we talked about this is their Super Bowl, guys. And, you know, we're going to be pairing you up with an athlete. It was a one-on-one kind of mentoring thing. And, you know, the first time you meet your athlete, you know, shake their hand, give them a high five, give them a fist bump. Make sure you get a chance to meet their parents because the parents do stay for the camp as well. So that was kind of the first thing we kind of worked with our players, like I said, the schedule and how to, you know, work with the athletes and things like that. And then after the athletes registered, I was there with our players, the mentors, and I would pair them up one-on-one with an athlete. And once they, you know, got paired up, they would go in the gym and just kind of have some free play, get to know them. Like I said, you know, we talked about, hey, greeting the athlete right when they get there, right when you meet their mentor, have a smile on your face, shake mom and dad's hand, and then, you know, go in a gym with their athlete and just, you know, maybe shoot baskets, maybe play horse, maybe dribble, see where things kind of go. Maybe he wants to, you know, just walk or jog around the gym, but get to know them a little bit. And that was kind of like the first 15 minutes of the camp is the athletes come in, they get paired up with their mentor, they go in the gym, and then they get a chance to have some free play, get to know them. And, you know, JP, it's interesting because, and we talked about this as well in our meeting before the athletes got there, that, you know, these kids, they all have different types of needs. You know, some are in a wheelchair, you know, some are, you know, maybe in their 20s, some can't talk really well. You know, so it was a cool thing for our kids to figure out, how can I work with this athlete the best? How do I connect with him? You know, it's okay if he wants to, you know, maybe go do something else or go, you know, he may be, you know, blurting out things. And so some kids would come and they were very, very shy and, you know, crying and timid. And it's, you know, within 10, 15 minutes, they're having a blast. They're having a great time. Then after that, then myself or the director of the camp kind of takes over a little bit, but you're always with your athlete. From there, it goes into, you're going to be, you know, kind of like running a basketball camp where you might have stations set up. You might be doing ball handling. You might be doing shooting. You might be doing passing. You might have stations set up. And the kids are with their athletes the whole time, you know, working with them. And then when we're kind of done with that, we bring the kids in and kind of like as a little break or halftime, and we talk to the athletes and the mentors and say, hey, what's your favorite thing? What do you like? And they're giving us feedback of, you know, oh, I like this one-on-one game, or I like this shooting game. And from there, we go on to kind of a either probably like we do a group game. Maybe it's a dribbling group game. Maybe it's a lightning game, a shooting game. Maybe it's a, you know, just some type of group activity that we do. And, you know, me being an elementary Phi Ed teacher, I have all kinds of games that we play with our Phi Ed kids that we brought to this camp. And the kids love it. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me to watch. You know, like I said earlier, I was really nervous before the camp. But our first year we did this, probably 20 minutes into it, I had tears coming down my eyes. And it was just amazing to see our kids just be rock stars. I mean, it was unbelievable. And the cool thing is kids that you would never think could be that type of leader or role model. It was just like, wow, they were just stepping up in ways that just were beyond unbelievable. And it brought tears to my eyes. And it was incredible. It was unbelievable. You know, at the end of the parents are there watching. At the end of the camp, we kind of form a tunnel. We put on the old Chicago Bulls theme song, and I'm there at now, Brian Small, and he'll run through the tunnel high-fiving everybody, and they're just excited, and it's just a cool, cool thing. You know what? Then at the end, we do pictures with the, you know, with the whole group, with the athletes at the camp, our mentors. Our players get pictures with, you know, their athletes afterwards. You know, like I said, the first year it was just amazing, and every year since it's been awesome. We just completed year three. We'll be on year four, and at the end, you know, when all the athletes leave and all the athletes go, we kind of have a mentor debrief where we kind of talk to our kids. You know, what did it look like for them? What type of experience did you have? And let them give us feedback. And then the feedback we get is just incredible. You know, we ask them, how can we relate this to our team? And what can we do moving forward? And I will never forget one of my comments I made, you know, to Lucas after the first time we run it. I said, everybody should be doing this. Everybody. I don't care if you're 0-22, you're 12-0. This really put things in perspective for me. And to see our kids just shine like they did, it was amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah, there's something in today's culture where we constantly, the conversations around the entitlement of athletes, right? And so we constantly are critical of athletes. But here you gave an opportunity for kids to be grateful, right, and to serve other people. And so obviously they were pouring into the lives of these kids, but your own kids were benefiting from the experience as well, right? And it was just this thing that went hand in hand. And, you know, the way to battle entitlement is through gratitude, right? And they had an opportunity to express gratitude for the gifts that they had been given, your own players, right, to these other kids by serving. And I think that's what's so awesome about the fact that you didn't just talk to your kids about character or the importance of being grateful. You gave them an opportunity. You gave them an experience for them to really be grateful for their ability to play the game, and then they'll be able to, their ability to be able to serve and to pour into their other people. And that is just such a profound thing about this. And I did something similar, but not to the effect that you have, years and years ago, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, where we got, especially in the Christmas season, I think it's a time where, you know, everybody's thinking about what we're going to get and stuff like that. So I always wanted around the Christmas season to break it up. And so we played and ran a little camp for some special needs in the area. But what you have done is, I love the mentorship aspect where they're really starting to develop that personal relationship with each kid. And like you said, every kid has something different that they struggle with, right? And that was so cool. And then you've got some pretty incredible stories of some relationships that have really come out of that experience as well, right?
Well, absolutely, JP. And I'm to be honest with you, I'm getting chills right now just talking about it. And, you know, talk about the service piece that you just talked about. I would say maybe 3 days later, without me saying a word to our high school, our athletes, not a word, I get an email the next morning from our Special Olympics coordinator, and just thanking me about these young men that came to Special Olympics and helped with practice and watched the kids played. So the players took it upon themselves, not me. I had zero to do with this, to go down there after a practice on a Wednesday night to go work with these kids and watch them play. I mean, it was, I was amazed when I
this
I
is got after that. You ran the Aspire camp, right? They then
after
went
we
served,
ran
yeah.
after we ran that Aspire camp that week after. I mean, it was unbelievable. One of my one of the moms on the team called me and said, "Kevin, I just got a phone call from Avery's athlete and said that my son, before he went to this camp, was very reserved, very quiet. He has not stopped talking about Avery and this camp since we got home. And it has been the best thing for him." And that same person, the next game that we played, he was in the front row with his parents watching Avery play. After the game, Avery took the time to spend some time with him after the game to talk to him about that. And, you know, again, it was just incredible. I mean, to have a family member of one of the athletes reach out to one of my player's athlete was just touching, not only for the player, but also the family as well.
That's incredible. Now, you did something extra special too, like you kind of mentioned it there. The last season is you kind of invited all of them to come out to one of the games, right?
Absolutely. So every year, you know, I'm always trying to find ways to grow it, to improve it. And so one thing we decided this year, we did it on a Saturday. It was a Saturday in January when I knew we had a game that night. So we ran the Inspire camp that morning so we could invite all the Inspire athletes to come to our game. And I'm going to tell you, JP, it was unbelievable. And here's a really cool story that I want to share. So we invited the athletes to come to the game, and during the starting lineup, we had them come out and form a line, two lines. You know, when kids are introduced, they high five everybody. So they were part of that. The smiles on their face was obviously incredible. But one of our players, athletes, as his name was being introduced, he's running out high fiving to run out to the center of the court before the game. This young man stopped him and gave him a hug right there. I mean, it was like, wow. Again, it was one of those moments where it was like, this is what it's all about. It's not about the scoreboard. It's about these moments right here. And again, this, you know, his name is Colin, my former player who just graduated, and this young man, they still have a relationship. We had a disappointing loss this year. We lost the first round of the tournament this year. And the next day, there was Special Olympics tournament going on down in a town about 5 miles, 10 miles from us. So I was going to go with my own kids. And so I get there and, you know, to watch some of the kids that I know. And I look over there, there's like six of our players there. And I'm like, you know, we just got done getting beat, you know, and here they are out there, you know, supporting their athletes that they worked with at the Inspire camp. And I'm like, you know, it just put things in perspective.
Incredible story. Incredible story. I know a lot of coaches, whether it be the Aspire camp or some other way to serve other people, I think that's what it's really about, is getting your kids to serve and really develop a relationship with those people that they're serving, you know? And I think that that's the incredible power of your story and also just kind of that activity or to do with your team. So appreciate you sharing with all the coaches out there.
Absolutely. You know, JP, and I'm just going to throw this last thing in there is, you know, I've been coaching for, I would say probably as a head coach, 23 years. And I would say, if I had to say one thing that I have done in this program or other programs, this program, because I didn't do it in other programs, this thing has made a difference in our program, a huge difference. every year when I have my exit interviews with our kids, every year, I'll ask, you know, maybe I ask them a question, something like that. You know, what was, what are a couple things or two or three things you really enjoyed about the season? I would say 90% of the kids say the Inspire Camp. And they say, we want to do it again next year. It has been a game changer. And if any coaches out there want more information about this or is interested in it, please give me a call or email me, because it is 100% a game changer. And I would be more than happy to walk you through the process of running one of these, because that's how passionate. And I think it could make a difference in anybody's program, in any sport out there.
So I know Kevin would love to connect with any coaches that are interested in running something similar, or if you had any questions. So we will have his information in the coaching notes PDF that you can obviously get if you're subscribed to the newsletter at thriveonchallenge.com. Now, one of the things that I love about this type of activity, it doesn't necessarily need to be the exact same activity that Kevin's here has run as far as serving the special needs in his community, but it can just be serving the community. And there's something so profound about actually doing what we're talking about all the time with our players, which is being selfless, putting others before ourselves. And I think that so often we want to talk about character. Maybe we want to put them in a classroom and have these character curriculums or leadership curriculums. And there's not, it's not to say that there's no value in those type of moments, but I think that the return on our investment of time for just actually going out and serving people, it is way more profound. I think back to one of my favorite parts of Love Does by Bob Goff, which is a great book. But in there, he talks about how he spent years doing Bible studies and just, you know, he's doing years and years of Bible studies and learning more about the Bible. And finally, he woke up one day and says, you know, I'm tired of just reading it. Let's just go do it. And so he started a Bible doing club. And I feel like this is what it is. Let's stop just talking about character with our kids. Let's go put it into action. And that's what Kevin's done. Now, Nate, I know you've done some similar things with your team, maybe even a little less labor intensive. Can you share with some of the listeners?
Well, JP, you know, I've been confronted in a similar way. You know, I used to think, man, we want to grow servant leaders in our program. And then one day I realized, you know, you have to serve in order to be a servant leader. And talking about it and trying to encourage them to, you know, do things in practice is one thing, but being able to connect with different groups of people that maybe they wouldn't come across in their everyday life and providing an opportunity to serve them and enhance their lives is pretty powerful, not only for individuals on your team, but for your team collectively. So we've looked at a couple of different ways in the past. I mean, we've done things like, you know, going to a homeless shelter and just offering to prepare a meal and serving a meal and doing the cleanup and that kind of thing. This past year, we adopted a retirement home in our community. And so we took a couple of our Saturday practices and just threw kids in the van, drove down to the retirement home and spent some time with the residents. And sometimes as coaches, the obstacle in our mind, at least, is that, you know, there's logistics involved and how do we find a time in our schedule? And then when we meet with these people, what do we actually do? I mean, I'm sure that Kevin would say initially when he was thinking about doing something like this, there's a little apprehension about, well, we get all these people together, what do we actually do with them? And I think there's so many underserved groups, population groups in every community, and often organizations that are just starving for people to come and serve, just to come and hang out. I know when we went to the retirement home, we didn't really have to prepare anything. We just went down, they had games set out, we're calling bingo, we're playing dominoes, you know, we're coloring and painting, and the kids are just hanging out kind of in small groups with some of the residents, and we just got a lot of great feedback from them. We actually tried to schedule later in the season, even with their program director, an opportunity for them to come to one of our basketball games and, you know, be able to kind of join in our community in that way. But I think any way that you can reach out and be able to serve is going to be beneficial for everybody involved.
Yeah, and there's something so profound about us choosing to spend our time serving others as a team instead of film study, more practices, more trainings, or taking our team bowling or whatever, right? Where we spend our time says a lot about our values as a team. Now, as I mentioned near the start of the podcast, we're running a coaching culture workshop in Minneapolis on November 24th, and it is open to all listeners of the podcast, right? We are looking for people willing to spend time as a coach or even an entire coaching staff doing a deep dive into their team's culture and their own leadership. And if you want to grow as leaders and as a team culture, we guarantee this will be well worth your investment. So go to thriveonchallenge.com/live workshop. I'll also put a link in the episode details.